Good morning. It's Gray Del Martez Harris. The date is March 5th, 2020. And you're listening to Moon Talk Radio. Today's podcast is centering around my idea to transition. My name, Gray, which is an acronym for Girls Really Are Yearning, a nonprofit organization that I'd like to start helping single mothers and LGBTQ community, fem empowerment, the underdog, everything in society that is less than, you know. I was listening to 73 Questions Vogue YouTube the other day, and Deepika was on, and she said, they asked her, what is feminism to you? And she said, equality. Exactly. Trigger! At the time, it was June 2020. Donald Trump, was the president of the United States. I was living in Washington Heights. And I was going through a subconscious understanding that my blood was calling me to the forefront. My Native American and African American and Creole and everything that is me, everything that is within the blood, the Kenyan blood, the mitochondrial DNA, was just coming to the forefront, like Mother Earth, literally, in my subconscious. And I'm watching this bigotry. I'm watching one man say that another man is less than he because of what? Because of a land that you don't even belong to? And so, the table that is me and my blood, and the monopoly board that is the government and the colonization of North America. I had to push all the pieces off, turn the board over, and bring some art supplies. Decide to paint something new, a new game. So I was in Washington Heights. It was during the eclipse. I have a moon in Cancer and a Leo sun. And as you pay more attention to the podcast, we'll get into the descriptions of all the planets and the characteristics that we have deemed. They're really just the map of the heavens, all underneath the umbrella of the divine, all underneath the umbrella of God and the Trinity. So during the eclipse, I had this dream that I had a baby, and the baby was me. And my ex-lover, dear friend, twin flame, Carmen Avila, at the time going by D, formerly Diego Avila, or Dees, called me up, and I told her the story. I had this dream that I had a baby, and the baby was me. And I just started crying, and she said, and isn't she beautiful? And we both cried together, and that was the first interaction of the realization of the subconscious journey that I was on, I was embarking on, in the birth, and why. And it was through our love and our experiences, through all of these experiences, we will be sharing on Moon Talk Radio, because she transitioned a few months before. So Moon Talk Radio in itself will be highlighting the two-spirit transgender experience, transitioning, but not just transitioning in your sexuality, transitioning in every form of life. You transition from elementary school to middle school to junior high school to college. You move in jobs. You get promotions. You transition from being single to being married to having children. You transition, you know, from not for, to parenthood. There are so many different transitions that will be highlighted on this podcast. And it's just a way of highlighting God. God first. He has many names. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisha, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, Uranus, the sky god, these names, the Hebrew God of Nazareth. They're highlighting the God particle and the God in the subconscious that is us, that drives us. So all of these things are going to be highlighted in how you bring him first, and we use the tarot, which was actually coming from the church. See, the devil doesn't want you to know that it was coming from the church, that it started with the church, and that witchcraft had to utilize the tarot for divination. But seer, which is a term that you can find in First Chronicles chapter 21, starting at verse 8 and 9, I believe, God said, and he sent David's seer, which is a term that my mom used to use when I started using the tarot. She was like, oh my goodness, just be so careful now, you know, you're not a devil. I'm like, girl, what? I mean, it's my calling. I feel it. You know, I've always had visions. I've always been empathic. I've always had this ability and this pull and this tug. I've always been a seer. I've always had this connection and this understanding with other people, non-verbally. And people always shared secret parts of themselves with me as if I could hold their weight, you know? And so we're just going to be talking a lot about how to hold on to your spirituality, your heart. Well, we're going to be using the chakras, because all of this is an umbrella. Even these religions are an umbrella. Certain terminology is an umbrella. God said he's a jealous God, but no other God before him. He didn't say there weren't any other gods. You could actually make anything your God. You could make your phone your God. Facebook's your God. You know, the clothing could be your God. So it's about the acknowledgement of putting him first in your life. Really, that's very specific. And I've had to do a whole journey of an understanding, of a digging into my mind, into others' minds, into theology. I'm still so at the beginning of what I want this platform of this podcast to be in certain aspects. But the point of it all is to get to a place of a connection and an understanding and a oneness, spirit, mind, body, soul, with God. And when you start to align yourself in these aspects, you start to see the glory that is him in all things. When you're transitioning from your house to work, okay? I hear the birds and you know, the animals, and we'll talk about diet and nutrition, and we'll talk about patterns of things and emotional background scars, and you know, maybe we'll have people on sharing their different experiences and, you know, sexual assaults and rape and all that type of stuff. They can share their experiences with that. And we can talk about different spiritualities and yoga and aligning your chakras. And we can heal. It's a place to heal and to talk and to come together and to celebrate womanhood. And we can talk about the trifecta of Lilith, Eve, and Adam, and why this trifecta is of this nature, which I want to get into in a separate podcast that God revealed to me, how Eve gave the knowledge through the apple to say, hey, wait, Lilith has that, and I don't have that. And then the curse of her begetting, but then it's a blessing at the same time, because you beget. It's beautiful. It's orchestrated understanding of the trifecta of love. God is love. And I've always had a certain understanding and relationship with him that I had to get back to. And now getting back to the story, once I had this dream, and I realized that I was a baby, and that I was having this baby was me. Me and Carmen, through our journey of loving each other when I was just Dale and not Gray Dale, she was Diego, and we were talking about our two-spirit nature. And I'll have her on here, and we'll be talking about this so much more because she's part of the co-finding of Moon Talk Radio. Hers is like, we both have Gemini rising. She has it tropically at 8 degrees. I have it tropically at 18 degrees. And sidereally, we have Taurus. So that fixed commitment of the rising understanding through the seer eye nature, like literally, I'm like talking to her right now. She's talking to me as there's an understanding of the connection of the launching of what is. And that's a soul tie through past lives understandings. And your past lives are really just you. Now, your time is an illusion. Your bloodline, really, it's that. It's the blood. So we consciously, Mercury, try to understand. The forehead tries to understand through our personality. But it's more, it's so much deeper, you know, as far as those understandings. And we can get into that. And what you think about the recycling of that, even because I understand that in my lifetime now with my grandmother and mother and myself, and how I'm my mother's child, but I was my grandmother's child too. That's a whole nother story. And that'll bring you to tears, and we can all heal from that loss and that rebirth and that understanding. Thank you, Jesus. It's just so lovely. So once I want me and Carmen, which was Diego at the time, Carmen Diego, and Gray Dale, we were talking about our two-spirit nature, and hers is more like the Gemini twin. It's more like this face and then that face, and you can kind of see her metamorphosis kind of even happening in front of you. Maybe she goes to the bathroom and comes back, and you know, there's a masculine and feminine energy to her that sits within that for her. That's very, her non-binary and her they. It's that. And then for me, it was more like, we talked about it in the aspect of Hercules versus like Athena or something. Or Aphrodite. And the birth of Aphrodite. You know, she came out of the water like that. She was never a child. And these understandings of like, why things are this way. She was always watching. That's why I felt like I was on a tightrope with certain choices, and that's why I didn't make certain choices with boys. It wasn't because I wasn't attracted to them. They weren't attracted to me. There were restrictions, and you're a good girl, and you know it. And I was raised in the church. And inside, I always had these dreams that I was this. I was a woman. They told my mother at birth that I was, they told her all through the pregnancy that I was a girl. She's buying girl clothes and everything. Okay, I'm a girl. She's preparing for another daughter. She had one. Her love of her life died. And now she just has this baby. And then she meets my father. And they fall in love. And she gets pregnant. And she's celebrating this baby coming. But then he was out of town around the scenario of my birth, which is funny because he was out of town my entire life. And everything going around your birth is really setting you up for the rings of your life. My heart chakra just got really heavy just then. I have a green aventurine, and I'm actually laying down right now as I give this podcast to you. And there's this green aventurine just weighing on me as I'm sharing. And it's so warm right now. Really, the green aventurine is just warm. My heart is like pounding underneath it. But I'm calm at the same time sharing this story. There was like, my mom didn't know that he was married, that he was separated. This whole time, she had no idea. This is the stuff that men do. And she was grieving at one point in time, and he was a comfort to her. And through the sex, of course, they're closer, even if she's vulnerable and she has this baby. And he's this man that loves her, and she's just getting eaten by him, honey. She just loves, she needed the support and this love, and he's there for her, and she trusts in him, and he said he wants the baby, and she's a pregnancy, everything is fine, the baby's coming, she's having a girl, we all know she's having a girl, he's had two other girls, I had two sisters that he had from another woman, Tanisha and Amika, and he was out of town, and there was a curse put on basically there was a curse that was broken. And now we're getting to the depth of it. There was a curse that was broken. But when I was born, they pulled me out of my mama and they said, it's a boy. And it's so funny because my trans male dear friend, Jackson, I told that story and Jackson cut me off right then and was like, no. You had a penis. And I was like, oh my God, that's so what it is. That's what it was, you know. And that's just interesting to think in that concept by itself. And then think about that concept while you have a Monopoly board on top of you. Okay? That all by itself. On top of being black girl magic and all of this. Just think of, and Native American, and trans, and the confusion of trying to play this role of cis male gay, because that's what you believed that you had to do, which we'll get into that later on, why I felt like I had to do it. So, then I come out, and they say it's a boy, and my mom freaks out, no, it's not my baby! Back then they had I don't even know if they knew it was postpartum pregnancy or whatever. And she couldn't hold me. She couldn't hold me. My Grammy, which was my third grandmama, which is my adopted grandma that took my mom in because my mom came from such a Christian, stern, disciplined, we live in the suburb, good girl background. She was like a Black American princess kind of energy. That she was like shunned for having the baby out of wedlock and she did this in spite and, you know, and she couldn't relate to her family in that way. And so she built a family that people that did were going to accept her. And Sonia, love you, Grammy, was the first person that helped me. She held me there. And it's so funny because I was just talking to her recently and she said, I always knew. Why did you hide it? We were just talking like a week or two ago. And she's been wanting to see me. I can't wait to see you, Grammy. I love you so much. So she held me. And they didn't know. My mom didn't know what to name me. She didn't know what to name me in the hospital for days. She didn't know what to name me. She didn't want to name me Lawrence because that was my grandfather. That was my father's name. And she didn't want people to call me Larry. She's like, and that's so funny because obviously she's been nurturing a girl in her womb and just the idea of Larry probably was just a cringe and disgusting or something, but it just wasn't in her spirit either. And it wasn't who I was. And so here I am. She ends up naming me Dale, which is his middle name. Ironically, Dale is a unisex name and I've met more women with the name Dale in my life, D-A-L-E, than men. Although men are famous for the name Dale Earnhardt, you know, it's just very ironic how these systems. So I get my name, Dale. She gives me Martez as my middle name, Harris. So my father's name is Lawrence Dale Harris, and my name is Dale Martez Harris. So they used to call me Little Dale because I'm not a junior. Because I don't have the same name as my father. But they call my father Dale. Because my father hates his name, Lawrence. So he grew up with the name Dale. So my name is Dale. So they call me Little Dale. You see kind of how I got my little nickname there. So whenever I go home ever to see my father's side of the family, they call me Little Dale. Little Dale. That was my nickname or whatever growing up. And my father was never really around. My mom wanted me to spend time with my father, so she would drop me off at his house and he would just never be there. I mean, my memories of my father are baseball, because he played baseball for the city, and you know, so whenever I go to the dugout, it's triggering or it's nostalgic for me, and I haven't gone in like a decade or something. Like, really, it's like I walk past it in Central Park, okay? You know, it's like, you know, because I grew up always going there to spend time, quote unquote, with him, but really he was just playing the game and we were applauding him, and he was being that James Bond energy, Scorpio male, born on Halloween. Glamorous in that way, but never having that intimate relationship with him. My intimate relationship with him was based on touch, when he would come and pick me up in his motorcycle and I would get on the back and I would just be squeezing him there and we would be riding through the city. Those are my most fond moments with my father. And he always had a lot of cars, you know, and he just was not very... He didn't know how to express that love. His father wasn't there. And I understand a lot about my father now. And I love my father because I love myself. And so that was the beginning surrounding my birth. You know, I got my name, Del Martez Harris. I'm this person. I'm having these dreams even as a child. In my dreams, I'm a woman. I'm always a woman in my dreams a lot of the times. I didn't associate it with just like womanhood. I just associated it with me being me. That's what the feeling was. I'm just being me. And I had hair. And when I grew up, I grew up and I had hair. And I thought maybe I just wanted hair. You know, I thought that's what it was. Maybe I just wanted hair. But really, I had suppressed the truth, which we'll get to. And in this flashback memory, you know, I always was drawn to strong women because I was a strong woman. And I was always drawn to like She-Ra and Xena and Power Ranger, Yellow Power Ranger and Catwoman and Poison Ivy. These were my archetypes of Phoenix, Jean Grey. I love Jean. She's my favorite. Literally, I'm Jean. So I love Jean. And Rogue. Jean and Rogue, really. I honor Storm, but I wasn't relating to Storm in that same way. Because Storm, even though she was powerful, she would crumble when the things were, oh, she had that claustrophobia. Oh no, I wasn't claustrophobic. I'm like a hermit. I'm like trying to go in. And Rogue is putting the gloves on, like, don't touch me, because I'll absorb all of your energy. It's all of that. That's my gift. So I would wear these, you know, t-shirts around my head. And I would run around the house because I wanted to feel my hair blowing in the winds of children now. You know, and we're playing all together. When I'm playing with the boys are always like, okay, you stay in, and me and him are going to go get this thing, and you stay here, you know, because I was always like the wifey person, and I would be okay with that, because I'm in the sandbox, I'm staying in the sandbox, and by the time they come back, well, what do they got, rocks or pebbles, I've got this sandcastle thing, and now we can put the rocks on the sandcastle thing, and it was just, there's nothing uncomplicated going. That's what's going on upstairs while the adults are drinking and playing cards and drinking Zima. And like, y'all don't know about Zima. Okay, and all of this stuff. And playing spades and like, you know, whatever they're doing. And we're listening to them sometimes. And, you know, stay at a grown folks conversation. Then we run back upstairs and we're playing kissing cousins. And we're, you know, we're having fun. And it's just all innocent. It's just for children. Even when the boys were kissing me there, because really my first kiss were from that. And that's not to make any of those cousins out there feel any kind of way. But, you know, they did kiss me. And that was just natural, actually. And they even would dress me up. Like the girls, and I remember getting dressed up in my Aunt Flame's stuff once. And they'd be like, you just look so good. And don't tell anybody we did this or whatever. And she would have her wigs. And they would dress me up. I didn't go into the closet and find it. They put it on me because they saw it. They're children. We're children. It's just natural. It was nothing weird for us. We were just being us. But I knew even then, especially being raised in the church, hello, fire and brimstone, that it was not something you could talk about. It was not something, the girls wanted to kiss me too. My babysitter used to kiss me on the mouth. She was like 12, 13, and I was like 5, and she'd always kiss me goodbye. Mwah. And that's like, as a child, you're thinking about affection, especially when your father's not around and your mother gives you all this affection, but she's got to work and stuff. And you're thinking about why these people are connecting with you in this way innately. And that feeling, those are feelings of love. That's God. So as I get older and I'm being myself in these ways, and I had a lot of energy. So Gemini rising, I would be doing cartwheels all the time. I could do like 20 cartwheels in a row. I can still do a lot of cartwheels in a row. And I end in a somersault, and like my Uncle Tony, Grammy's son, would be like, gymnastics classes, you know, and this, that, and the other. And she would like, my mom would be like, I would if I could afford to, you know, but, you know, she just let me go. And plus she couldn't put us, we couldn't go to camp and stuff. We had, you know, but we had each other in the projects and stuff, and lower income, you have each other. Even though she came from good stock and everything, I always joke about it, be like, you got a better childhood than me, and that says, you know, but we had each other, you know, and the kids all had each other, and we could, even though it was projects and things could happen, even in the projects, like shootings and menace to society and stuff like that, when it's your neighborhood, you know everybody on the corner and all that and this, that, and the other. You understand? So it's like you could be out a little bit after dark during the summertime playing hide and go seek with, you know, the kids until mama calls you in because you know everybody. You've been living in this neighborhood. You go over to Auntie K's and you get your popsicles that she's selling in the freezer because she took Kool-Aid and she put them in the foam thing with the stick and she froze them and she's charging 50 cents. So she's got her little hustle and hello, this is how... This is the whole story of In My Heart, you know. And so, I remember my mom caught me doing it. And my stuffed animals were always so important to me. So they'd be laying face down. I would come into my room. I would come into my room from playing with my cousins or something. Playing house like this. And I come up the stairs and say I have my little Dale. Like the chipmunk Dale. Or I have... Elroy was one of my first ones, really, that I really loved, face down, and I would run in there, and I'd be like, oh my god, he can't breathe, like, literally, I would be feeling bad that my stuffed animal could not breathe, so I would run to the bed, and I would jump on it, and I would turn it up, and, like, position it symmetrically, comfortably. I was always positioning it symmetrically, comfortably. I had a My Little Buddy doll, until I saw Child's Play with my mom, and I just couldn't do that anymore. But I did for a while. And so when she caught me with the playing with the things on my head and stuff, she had my grandfather have a conversation with me about it, and, you know. And I'm like, I didn't even want to say the word, but she's like, my grandfather's like, little boys don't do this, you know, because little boys don't. Okay, put things on their head and this and the other, and you know, listening in the conviction and the conveying, and you know, we were chastised for different things, and my grandfather was mean, and he did spank us and this, that, and the other. I don't think I got a spanking for that, but we did get spanked for different things, and I didn't get spanked often because I was a good child, but those types of things were still triggering. And so there was this fear instilled inside of you, and they believed that that fear was going to keep you in line. And that way, and it did, you know, in a sense, you know, I'll bring up a rod the way it should go and all of that, you know. And so there was that fear, and we weren't allowed to have bad grades and stuff. I mean, I didn't get my first B until like middle school. I didn't get my first C until high school. Like, I was on honor roll, really. I was a very good girl. We went to church. I started singing. That was my outlet. Because my soul was crying out because my father was never around and I was talented. And I would sing Whitney Houston's song, and I would get trophies singing these songs, performing 4-H and different things once we moved out of Ohio because my cousin got killed, my babysitter, Megan Love Walker, rest in peace. She's a spirit that watches over me. And my mother, a year later, was just like, no, we got to get out of here. This is getting really bad. And her parents had left because God told them to start a church in Georgia. So my grandfather was always a preacher. in Massillon, Ohio, and he went to Georgia to start a church down there, Christ Temple. And when they went down there to start that church, my mom was like, she's the only girl of four in Chigondo, which is that spirit that I talk about, that I'm the child of my grandma, which that's another podcast, died at 8 years old. And eight is my number, July 26th, 2 and 6, May 8th. Eight is a strength card. Also, Leo is eight, which is August, the eighth month. But that's a whole nother thing. Moon talk. Once I think about those planets, I almost like lost my thought there and I have to round it back out again. Thank you, Jesus. So the 4-H and the singing and all that stuff, I'm growing up. I'm getting this understanding of like who I am and why I am. And so we move. You know, I remember when we moved because my mom wanted to be closer to her family and get out of Ohio. I remember when we moved, she took me past my father's house and we were in the back alley of that house. And he hugged me and he cried. And it was the first time I'd ever seen my father cry and really hug me and squeeze me like that and hold this up, have this affection in my life. And I was almost 10 at this point. I was 9. It was June 13th when we left of like, I think it was 96. Or something like that, 96, 97. Because I think Megan died in 94. So then I was like, wow. As a child, I was like, wow. He cares, you know? Like, he cares, you know? That was literally my first memory of that. Of that feeling. Of that masculine, positive, male love like that. That was like, oh, this is what this feels like. And he's crying for me. Oh, you know. And so then we moved. So there was that understanding and then we moved. So I naturally resented my mother because I was like, no, wait a minute. He loves me and we're now moving. And now this is the first time I'm seeing this. This is really like, what? Wait a minute. You can't take me away because that's my father. That's my dad. That's my daddy. And he actually showed me that he loves me just then. And now it's gone. And then we moved to Georgia. And in Georgia, now I'm like, I'm from Ohio. I'm like proper and I'm a good girl. And I'm trying to get the Academy Award for Best Cis Male role, you know? And so I'm playing into this. And now we're helping my grandfather build this church. Literally build it. Like, mow the lawn and put things up and pews and, like, everything. And I'm there on a Monday and not a Tuesday. And, like, a Bible study on, like, a Friday and a Saturday morning choir rehearsal. And then a Sunday night and a revival. And, I mean, everything. Just the whole journey of being raised Kojic, Church of God in Christ, down there with my family. And I moved down there in fifth grade. So it was fifth grade, sixth grade, and seventh grade. I was down in Georgia. And now I'm in Georgia. Racism, segregation, things that never were in my mind, in my life, ever, ever, never, ever, ever. As a child especially, it's just never, we never had to deal with that in that way, or I just didn't understand it in the same levels until I went to Georgia and I started to see certain things. Like when the kids were mean to the white people and they were on the back of the bus, the white people sat in the back of the bus and there were not that many of them. And it was a small, the black kids were really mean to the white kids. And I'm just observing this because I'm an alien from the north. And I'm like, why are they treating them like this? They're treating them like this because there are certain things, civil things that still have yet to be resolved in those small towns. And this was a small town of 4,000 people. And there was red dirt and red ants. And my grandfather had bought 14 acres of land. He's a carpenter and a genius of a man. And he had done all these things with his life. And now he was doing what he does best, which is build homes and renovate them. And he had bought like a 1 or 2 bedroom house, which he turned into a 4 bedroom house with a garage and, you know, all this stuff. And he's a genius of a man. So I was always spoiled in that aspect that I didn't understand. I was always a princess of the land in a way that I didn't understand. My grandfather is Cherokee Redskin as well. And just as he has this, he bought land that for the first time at 10 for his grandma. He built a house for her at 13 for his full Redskin Native American grandma. That's what they called them back then, the Redskin. You know, it's just an offensive term. It kind of irritates me. But it's also just, it's a character group. It's what they call themselves, what they called them then, or what they called them. So he would always have that pressure and that awareness as a children. He'd be like, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I did this. We always knew the story. And I bought land at 10. And I built my grandma's house at 13 because he had a hard life and he was an orphan at different points in time. And when he was taken in by his grandmother, who was Native American, who we believe was an indentured servant for Mr. Shelley, who was a millionaire, white man, he was equal. Even though she was an indentured servant, she was not a slave. She was just there working the house. So he was equal with the kids, the white kids. So he was a black kid driving the tractor and doing all these things and playing with the white kids in the South and getting an education like the white kids. So there's just, this is the natural understanding of why the alienizations of even why I was different than certain other blacks. And why I was put aside, right? Why I could relate in certain ways and why I didn't understand certain systems I was blind to, which was actually good for me, especially artistically. And so these are the lessons that I was learning and the pressures that I was under just from being born into my family, African-American, Native-American. And it's going to be harder for you. You better stay in line. And what are you going to be when you grow up at 8 years old? And you better... And like literally my grandfather looking me deep in my eyes with pressure and conviction like a preacher in church, because he is a preacher in church. So he was a preacher at home too, right? It was never an escape in that sense. Just imagine always being in the fire as a child. The fear... literally, that you're going to be spanked or beaten if you do this wrong, and the fear of God, and wanting to love God, and wanting to be open, just a child, just wanting to do it right, honey, just be right, accept it, why is it so hard, all of that, and why I didn't have my father around, and all of these lessons. These are just my story. I'm not asking for a pity party. Girls really are yearning. Okay, it's not black and white, it's gray. And it's lightest gray, and darkest gray. And there are all these tones in between. And there's color and transparency and opaque. There are all things going on here. Get out of the box. And this is what I'm talking about non-binary, them, her, she, that, it, what. They're persons. It's the dying of Aquarius. And you can have three titties, and you can have polka dot skin, and you can have purple skin, and we can all work on this spaceship together. And I want the doctor to actually went to med school for 10 years. And you're not cutting me unless you actually have been practicing this and cutting, had surgery with other people, whatever, whatever. And my lawyer has went to law school. And he's not the partner here because his daddy was the partner here. He went to law school and he's not privileged just because of his blood. That's the dining of Aquarius. Prove it. So here we are on Moon Talk, getting down to it and proving it and healing and helping and cracking faces, Uranus and Taurus, this transition that's going on and all these planetary placements and how we're going to be using the tarot in the present to bring an awakening to situations in your life and the map of the stars and the more you learn how to read your natal chart and apply and how that is still not taking away from God. So as I grew up, now I'm in Georgia and the red dirt in this place and I'm trying to be a good girl. And you know, they're literally pressuring me like this, you got to be saved, your soul. My grandmother was like, all I wanted to do was be saved and get down on your knees and pray, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you are a child and they are saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And they're crying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you're crying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you're at the pew and everybody's watching enough. The tambourine's going, and they're foaming, honey, and Zion's going, and we're crying, and it's all of that. It is the pressure and the heat, and God is on your back. And you better do it right. And you better da-da-da-da-da. And the fire and the fire and the temperance, honey. And it's hot, hot, hot. It's hot. My south node is Sagittarius. I come from Sagittarius with Uranus sidereally sitting right on top of it. What did I say Uranus is? God. So it's literally sitting on top of me always. My relationship with the masculine was God. That was really it. And I had, like, my grandfather as an example. I didn't have a father. I didn't have brothers. I was raised by my sister, who's 2 years older than me, and my mother, who was my guardian, and my mother and my sister, and my grandmother, who was my mom and my grandmother, and my spiritual guidance. And they have, and this is where I come from. So I've always been this. I've never known not to be this. I've never not seen myself other than this positive, powerful, feminine, subconscious energy guiding this silly, masculine kind of fumbling energy through life so that it does not end up in jail or sick or dead or whatever. And it wasn't that I wasn't feeling even things hormonally with boys, but I didn't even have a real connection with a guy and understand that I really liked them that way until much older. Like I was like 17 or something. But I had kissed boys and boys had kissed me and all of these understanding because boys saw me because I saw myself. I was a woman. I saw myself as a woman. So they saw me as a woman. So they kissed me like a woman. And this is the story of why it was that way. It's easy. They saw me. It was easy. It's Lilith to Eve. And Adam is seeing clearly both of them. Okay? And so it's a very easy understanding of what it is. It's just innate. There's no confusion about why it was. I just knew I couldn't talk about it. Especially with all this fire and brimstone. And Jesus, and cry it out. And you're sin. And you don't get saved. And you're not da 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 da. Okay? So the pressure, and that's just having a good heart and just wanting to do it right. And then being an artist. And so that was actually where the singing came from when I was young then. I had plenty of things to sing about even then. And that's why I would bring people to tears singing and winning these trophies even then. What's the point of working hard to find a dream? Okay. That Whitney was just... Whitney reminded me of my mom. My mom was like Jackie Joyner Kersee and Whitney Houston spliced together. That was what I relate my mom as. Because she was soft, but she was strong. And my mom had to be a strong woman. She didn't have a choice. So my example of femininity was a strong woman. That's why it's challenging for me sometimes when women just sit on their truth. I'm always trying to... I'm like, there are women who have died and have fought for you. Don't just be comfortable. You have these freedoms. You can have a job and you can work and you can do things. And you can have a voice and you can be your own self too. That's what we're talking about. She can be equal and you can trust that she can go out and go to work and come back. And she wants to be just with you. And like, I know you're a pretty gorgeous little thing out there that you don't want to let go out in the world like that. Like, you know, men get like that because my lover got like that with me and they get like, they get possessive and they thinking that they're protecting you, but in actuality, they're smothering you. They're smothering your dreams. They're killing you. I keep putting more dirt on that fire. You're going to put it out. Keep putting more practicality. Well, you can't do that and you can't do that and you better not wear that and you're killing her spirit. That's fire. Fire. You're killing, you're smothering her spirit until there won't be anything left. You could literally kill her, possibly. She could get sick, even. Stress. It could become cancerous. Her chakras could be blocked. There are all kinds of things. And you didn't even mean to. Right? It's like a Rachel to a Leah kind of thing with Jacob. It's like he only had this much time with Rachel, who he just was so obsessed with. But he also probably just in that time he had with her, he probably smothered her with all the things. But was she able to also breathe? Because Leia was definitely able to breathe and have space because he was only coming with this, that, and the other, and da, da, da. But she actually fulfilled her role as wife to the utmost and get all these kids and all this stuff. Anyway, that's just an example. So then you're growing up. You're in Georgia. I'm telling these people in Georgia every year. And I'm leaving next year. Because 5th grade, 6th grade, and 7th grade, I'm telling them. Because I hated it. I hated being there. They're looking at me like I'm crazy. Because I'm used to transformation. I'm used to things being destroyed, even as a child. Phoenix energy. I ain't staying here always. This is just, there are better things. Because I thought that that the school system and everything there was horrible. They had paddling in the school. And I got paddled once. And it's something that I wouldn't talk about. I was almost ashamed just then and didn't want to say it. But I'm actually healed from all of that. But I got paddled once. And it was because I was talking in class and my teacher just wanted to assert, I think, her power over me. And she knew I was a very strong mind. And I was the type of child that raised their hand a lot and asked a lot of questions. And I was talking in class. I did something. And she wrote something and they paddled me. It was just like one or two whacks or whatever, but it was more of the trauma of that, the power of the authority that, like government even, that you thought you could come in and just do that to me, you know, and to take that from me, you know? And so that understanding and that connection. And if you guys hear any voices in the background, I have a roommate. I'm a New Yorker, so just forgive me. So that understanding of that, just those restrictions in the story, once again, that toxic masculinity, and it was just like, yeah, and I can, in any moment, because you did this, I can now do this to you at any moment, you know? And then my mom went off when I was in 7th grade because she had to go to North Carolina to prepare for me. But I didn't understand at that time. So it was an abandonment tie for the first time my mom really abandoned me, where I felt abandoned, where I felt like, oh no, you left me. You left me here with my grandparents in Georgia. And you know I don't even want to be here and you don't want to be here. And you brought me down here and now I'm still in the Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And that was the first suicidal attempts that I started to have in that darker place. And that actually brought me closer to God, and to reading and to finding literature and grammar so fascinating. Because I started to escape into the Bible, read the whole Bible, and I used to read really, really long books, 450 page books, Terry Brooks science fiction books in 6th and 7th grade. And I would just sit there, and my grandfather would be preaching about stuff and barking about different things, and I would just get lost in my book. I would just go outside and I'd just be in my book. And there was 14 acres of land, so it'd be like deer that come and run up and startle me sometimes. And a hummingbird came and flew in my face and flew backwards. And I had a cat named Sunshine. And, you know, I had a lot of space as a child. And that I was always kind of a loner. No one really wanted me. I had a lot of time to be imaginative. When I was in Ohio, I had my Aunt Flame who wanted me, and my Aunt Felicia, and my Aunt Joanna, and they had kids, and so were my cousins, and so we had each other. But then when we left there, I didn't have anybody. I didn't have anyone in Georgia. I didn't have anyone. And I had this pet fox that would come, I would feed it, and it got hit by a car. And my grandfather would always try to instill that masculine. He'd call me Sport. Come on, Sport. And I'd be going, he was a carpenter, a very masculine and capable man. And he'd be hammering shingles on the roof, and I'd be handing him shingles. And I always have to go out and work with him. My grandmother would be like, go on out there and help your grandfather, you know? And I have to go out, and I have to just do something to help him. This is just like handing him the hammer for like 2 hours and like nails and stuff. And he'd be talking about stuff. And so me and my grandfather are very close. I'm very close to my grandparents because they raised me too. They were like my parents, really, in a lot of ways. And they were my guardians. You know, so I understand they've been married for 61 years. So I understand commitment. I love the idea of that, marriage and commitment. But I also understand what it's like to never be married. My mother never got married. She was a single mom. And she went in and out of all kinds of relationships. And so I understand both aspects of that. And that's why I'm like, no man ain't gonna just gonna, But then this other part of me that's yearning for that real true man to be just the one that's gonna really prove it. really prove it, really show me, you know? So that's always been that kind of thing. And I was, the Little Mermaid, ironically, was always my favorite. Literally was always my favorite. And my mom would say, oh, just let them watch the Little Mermaid. Just let them sit there and watch it and they'll be fine. And that's literally what I would do. The babysitter would come over and I would be watching the Little Mermaid. Part of your world. And I just loved that musical. And I loved Aladdin, too. I loved Aladdin because I loved Aladdin. And I realized that I was Jasmine later. My personality is very Jasmine. So those two Disney princesses were really my, like, sun and moon, right? Actually, those two princesses are like my rising and my moon. And my sun, which are my actions, is like Belle. There goes the mega with the tray, like always. Like, everybody's watching her. Oh, isn't it amazing? It's my favorite part because you'll see. Right? And there's that understanding going on there. And so it's like growing up slowly, 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 piece by piece by piece by piece. And so when I finally was able, you know, my great-grandmother died, Rebecca Hall. My great-grandmother was an only child who had 13 kids. So she did it. And that was on my grandmother's side. And we used to go to the nursing home and see her. My mom is so spiritual and so family. She's a Sagittarius. Spiritual and family-orientated all the time. I always want to be with her family and yearning for that. And so as a child, she would take me to go see my great-grandmother at the nursing home. And so the old people, Aquarius Energy Midhaven, old people would just, oh, I'm just a snack to them. And they just want to, you're cheesy, you're just so cute. And just, oh, I just be like, oh, all the old people. I just like, I didn't hate it, but I didn't really like it either, you know. And I liked going to see my great-grandmother, but her lips are so perched. She'd be so perched, and I'd be like, oh, are my lips going to be like that? Like, why are her lips like that? It's just interesting what you're fascinated in as a child. So she passed away, and then after that, we moved to North Carolina with my mom, because she had gotten a job at IBM, and my uncle is a computer engineer, genius of a man, very, smart and well off and electronical, and always had like different things, gadgets. Like, they were the type of people, like when Blockbuster was big, when I grew up, they had two VHSs. When we rented stuff, they were like dubbing the stuff, and they had like three different movies per videotape, and they had a whole bin of videotapes. So it was like movies and acting and screens and just, it was just innate for me. Singing the arts was innate for me. It was like my outlet, literally. And fantasy, I had a whole 10 of action figures and stuff. And I would steal my sister's Barbies, because you had to have the Barbies. The men had to rescue the women and stuff, and the women had to be strong too. But then I also had strong women, like action figure women, like Catwoman and the Yellow Power Ranger, you know? And so there were, the Yellow Power Ranger was not the Barbie. They were like different experiences, you know. And my favorite cartoon was Jem. Jem, truly our ages. Jem is my name. And I loved Captain Planet, Gaia, from Captain Planet, the chocolate, beautiful woman who was the seer that saw over things. And it just makes so much sense as to why Moontalk kind of like gave birth subconsciously in a way. It just was like I was holding to things and carrying them spiritually. And so then I moved to North Carolina, and it was hard for us. You know, my sister, we were asked at the end of the summer, my mom was like, it's going to be hard, but if you want to, I want you to stay with me. But, you know, your grandparents could probably take care of you a little bit better right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, of course I'm staying with my mom. And my sister was like, I'm going to go back. My friend, she was a little older than me. So she went back, and I stayed as a single child with my mother, as an only child with my mother. So I understand the concepts of only child, And I also understand the concepts of sharing and having a sibling always there. Because my sister is Gemini rising 20 degrees and I'm Gemini rising 18 tropically. We're only 2 degrees apart. Our houses are completely lined up through our spirit. So it's like every house I'm in, she's in and we're in it. And so our journey was always this understanding. We're twins, the twins, analyzing and share her sexuality. She's lesbian, but she was married before and had a baby. So there's, she also was doing something to herself and that's her pain, right? She was doing something to herself. She always talks about how she regretted getting married because she knew that she loved women. That's like me regretting that I was doing that to myself and my body all that time. And I really knew that I was she, her. I really did know that. In every relationship that I was ever in, and every man that's ever loved me, really loved me, has always loved that, has always seen that, because that's who I am. That's how I see myself. I have a Cancer moon. That's how I see myself. So that's what they're falling in love with. Her. Me. Not the role that I'm being forced to play in society, because I have to. Right. So then North Carolina, when I got to North Carolina, now I'm in eighth grade and I'm so much more determined than other people. I'm more determined because I went through these experiences. My cousin died. My babysitter was shot in the head. Okay, we had to move. That was the first trauma I had to go through. It was an open casket. Okay, I saw her spirit. I felt her spirit. That was the first spirit I ever saw in the once in a chair. And I woke up in a cold sweat when she was killed and everybody was asleep and we were sleeping in the same bed together because we had just moved into the house. It was the first day in a new house. And I thought it was because we were in a new house that I couldn't sleep. And I went back to sleep and 2 hours later, my mom woke me up and said, Megan's been shot. We've got to get up and do this, that, and the other. Do you want to come with us or do you want to go to your grandparents' house? And the lights were bright and I remember her talking and saying that. And I had woken up earlier at 12, it was like 12:01. And that's when she died in the ambulance with her sister there. It's a spiritual thing. So then we go to North Carolina and I'm reading literature in eighth grade, Miss Fraser's class. They tell us Princess Diana died. I was in eighth grade. You never forget stuff like that. Where you were when Princess Diana died. And Princess Diana is a Cancer born on July 1st. Which is my soulmate day, actually. I have a dear friend, Kyle Ortiz. Shout out to him. We love him. Born on July 1st. And that day, I realized I wanted to be an actor. We were reading a play. And I have it in my head, but I can't remember the title of it right now. And they had me read the play out loud. Miss Fraser had me reading the play. And she looked at me and she said to me, in my eyes, she looked at me and she said, you're going to be an actor. And I loved the way that sounded because I just put it all in together and it made sense. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be an actor. So when I went to ninth grade, I went to Introduction of Acting. And Cheryl Prater became my mentor and my teacher. Shout out to Cheryl Prater, who I love, who put me on my path in life. Cheryl Prater became my mentor. And after Introduction of Drama first year, I was skipped up to Drama 3 Honors. So I skipped Drama 2 altogether. So now I'm a sophomore and I'm in Drama 3 Honors, then Drama 4 Honors my junior year. Then my teacher told me about a summer program with University of North Carolina School of the Arts. It was called North Carolina School of the Arts at the time. And I was having, like, you know, my mom was being really disciplining on me because she was worried about me in the world. She was trying to prepare me. So I had a job at 13. I was working at Carmack Cinema at 16. She had bought me a BMW. I was paying a car note, $200 a month. I'm giving her $50 a month for this. She's teaching me all this responsibility, pressure, because she wants me to be able to take care of myself. And I've got to cook a meal too. And I'm doing hamburger helper to help her because she's working and I'm gonna cook a meal for us, mommy. It's just me and you. And, you know, all of this stuff. Because my sister had come to stay with us for her senior year, but then she went off to college. So it was really just still me and my mom a lot during that high school period of time. And I always wanted to help my mom because I always dealt with her stress. As a child, I was an empath. I'm worried about if she's going to pay the bills or not because it's just her. And I see those stresses in her. The children know. You know what's hurting mommy. And you know if you see mommy crying, you don't want to see mommy crying.